Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. My guest on this programme believes that the European Union has been too cautious for too long and has not proactively defined or defended its interests in the world. David McAllister is the chair of the European Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee, and he's the rapporteur of the report on implementing the EU's Common Foreign and Security Policy, or CFSP, which was adopted by MEPs in late February. It's an annual report, and this one is entitled Strengthening European Defence in a Volatile Geopolitical Landscape, which is obviously a central theme for the EU at the moment. Now, David McAllister is a German Christian Democrat, despite his name, and he's a vice president of the European People's Party here in the European Parliament. Welcome to you on the programme, David McAllister.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you.
Let's start with this agreement, which is now nearing completion on the Ukraine military assistance package worth 5 billion euros. What difference do you think that will make if indeed this is approved at the EU Council?
The European Union has never before supported a third country like Ukraine. We are supporting the Ukrainians economically, financially, in a humanitarian way, and also for the first time militarily. And I welcome that we are now providing more financial means to Ukraine to give them what they need to be successful in this war. I think it's very important to underline we need to give the Ukrainians what they actually need, whatever it takes.
So President Zelensky is warning about a big Russian offensive by May at the latest. When you see all the different sticking points around this military assistance package, France defending, France, for example, insisting on the European by European clauses, Germany having its own financial demands on the facility. Do you think that it's actually moving too slowly in that sense?
Well, it took quite some time to find an agreement at EU level for this package. Some may rightly say it took too long, but I would welcome the compromise that has now been found and all the interests of the different member states have been covered. Important is now that the Ukrainians get the money as quickly as possible so they can buy more weapons and more ammunition.
Let's talk about two programmes that you've been actively working on here at the Parliament. One is shortened to EDIP or EDIP, which is about defence investment. And then there's also EDIRPA, which is about defence procurement. Maybe you could just kind of lay out for us what those two things are and how they work together.
Well, first of all, I fully understand that all these acronyms and abbreviations are very confusing for the citizens. That's why I try to avoid them. In the end, it's about ramping up our defence industrial production in Europe. We need to invest more into our defence industry and we need to procure more and better. And I strongly believe that we can do this better at a European level. And this is what all these programmes are about. It's about ramping up the defence industry in Europe and also to support Ukraine in a better way.
There was a report by a French think tank which suggested that most of the defence contracts are actually going to contractors outside the EU. So is that a problem? Because presumably there's not much incentive for manufacturing inside the EU, if that's the case.
Ursula von der Leyen and the Commission have just presented the new European defence industry package. And one of the aspects is that we also want to invest more in Europe. We want to buy more European arms. But first of all, we need an increased European production to actually do so. In the end, we need to buy the best equipment for our own soldiers and for those who are fighting in Ukraine.
So you're suggesting the emphasis is still on buying rather than, so that the issue is where do you get the weapons from rather than having an indigenous industrial base in the EU?
Well, first of all, for our own armed force, it's important that all our activities are closely coordinated with NATO. We are with NATO together with the North Americans in this alliance, and we will continue to buy American, but we want to buy more European. I would say it's about remaining transatlantic, but becoming more European. Mm. And when it comes to what we need desperately now, on short term, We need to buy whatever is available.
Yeah, I mean, you say the word desperate, and EDIP, so this defense investment program, it currently has 1% of the funding that the European Commission wants ultimately, so 1% of 100 billion euros. How would you increase that? I mean, that's a long shortfall.
What we will see in the next years in the European Union is that we will go concrete steps towards a European defence union. And what does a fully fledged European defence union mean? It first of all means that we need to ramp up our defence industry production in Europe. We have to do more research together. We need to purchase much more together. It's about spending our taxpayers' money more efficiently. If we want to do more, if we have to do more for our own European security and defence, let's try and do as much as possible at a European level. In the moment, 80% of defence procurement is still taking place at a purely national level. I think there's a lot of room for improvement. That's why I also welcome proposals which have now been made by different political parties in Europe that we need a European commissioner with a dedicated portfolio for security and defence, and we also need a defence minister's format at EU level. The main focus should be, once again, establishing a European single market for the defence industry and about ramping up our defence industry production.
So how do you see a European Defence Commissioner actually changing things on the ground if that were to be created?
Well, I think we
as a coordination role, presumably.
Well, in the moment, the fields this man or this woman will be dealing with are shared on the one hand with the High Representative, Vice President, and on the other hand with the Commissioner for an Industrial Portfolio. I think there is a lot of room here for a dedicated Commissioner only for dealing with security and defence. It's about bringing the 27 EU member states together, planning the activities, and also coordinating closely with NATO. And a final point, for me, the European Defence Union, which we are working on, is like a puzzle with 5,000 pieces. The frame has been set in recent years with the permanent structured cooperation with the European Defence Agency, with the European Defence Fund, but now we need to have more pieces and put them together in an intelligent way, and that is the job for a woman or a man, which should be a commissioner for, let me underline, security and defence, because it's about security.
So in your report on the CFSP and your call for a stronger EU voice. We've seen, though, that actually there are some quite significant divisions there have been over the last few months on Gaza. And we've seen also on China, we've seen bilateral visits by European officials rather than the multilateral formats that you're calling for in your committee. So how much of a problem are these divergences, do you think?
I think it's obvious that we have to further strengthen our common foreign and security policy and the common security and defence policy in the next years. The aim is for us as European Union to become a real global player. We are a global payer. For instance, we give by far the most for development cooperation, but we are not a global player. We do not have the same level and eyesight with other players like the United States of America or China. What do we need to do? We need to get our act together and speak more with one voice and handle.
But you've got some members of the EU that are naturally more pro-Israeli, others lean more towards the Palestinians, for example.
Well, the European Union is a family of 27 sovereign nations, and on certain fields we have different views, for instance, on the Israel-Palestine conflict or also when it comes to Serbia and Kosovo, yes. But I think there is so much unity now and we have to work on finding a common agenda and a common strategy. But we also need the tools to implement our common foreign and security policy. That's why the soft power tools are there. They are available, but we need to have more hard power tools as European Union.
David McAllister, you're a firm supporter of Ursula von der Leyen, the head of the European Commission. I wonder what you made of one of her own colleagues, Commissioner Thierry Breton, openly questioning whether she has the full support of her party, which is your party, the European People's Party.
First of all, the European People's Party supports Ursula von der Leyen. She is our lead candidate. She's our Spitzenkandidat.
She didn't get a huge vote, though, at the Congress, to be honest.
She got a vote of more than 80% in a secret ballot. Look, the big difference to the Socialists is that they also nominated their lead candidate, Mr. Schmidt from Luxembourg, but it was an open vote. I mean, it's easy to get 100% if it's per acclamation. We had a secret ballot. She got a result. She got an honest result, but it's a very good result. She was supported and endorsed by the German CDU, the Polish platform Obywatelska, and the Greek Nea Demokratia. And in the end, we had delegates from all our 27 EU member states at this party congress in Bucharest. Very few national delegations said that they are sceptical. The huge majority is carrying her, and I'm very convinced that she will be the next European Commission president for another 5 years, because she's done a good job the first 5 years.
How do you feel, if anything, about this sort of coldness that has set in between, it seems, Mrs. von der Leyen and the Renew Group in France and President Macron?
Well, like many others, I was quite surprised about Mr. Breton's tweet. But if I read correctly, even the French president and other colleagues have told him that they don't agree with his view. So I think this is over and done with.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being my guest, David McAllister, who is head of the influential Foreign Affairs Committee at the European Parliament. That's all for this part of Talking Europe. I'll be back in part two with my panel of MEPs talking about the rule of law in Hungary and Poland.